We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Emily Gonzalez is the owner and operator of Gems Catering, which is located in Lancaster City. She, along with her team, combines unique flavors and spices to create their cuisine and has been serving up dishes in Lancaster since 2018. And today, we welcome Emily to The Spark to discuss her cuisine and so much more. And I'm happy to have her on The Spark with us today. Hello, Emily. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for joining us on The Spark today. So let's get right into the delicious details here. Can you tell us why and how you started Gems Catering?
Well, it all began, I've always cooked. Obviously, we're Puerto Rican. That's what we do. We grew up cooking. There's nothing else we know but cooking. I grew up cooking, and I've always had, regular jobs where I was trying to make it work for my children. And it got to a point in 2018 where it did not. So when it didn't, I realized I was like, I need to figure out something. So I started an in-home daycare for about 6 months. That was terrible. I didn't have time for my kids still. So my mom's ex-husband says, why are you not making money out of cooking? You already cook. That's something that you do all the time. So I started making empanadillas. From empanadillas, it led to platters on Fridays. From platters, it led to catering to small gatherings. And then it just blew up from there.
So what was your first catering experience? Can you take us back to that first moment? How'd it go?
No one's ever asked me that. My first catering, actually, it all happened. I was on my way to the airport to go to Thailand for 2 weeks. So I decided to book a vacation for mindfulness and meditation for 2 weeks, isolated from the world. And this happened in March of 2019. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I had already been doing platters and empanadillas, and that was nothing. But then a friend of mine who's had my platters said, hey, I work at a salon, and I've told them and I've been bragging about you. So she has 30 employees here and 30 employees at her other location. Would you be willing to bring some food? And I said, I've never done this, but sure. Oh my goodness, my pricing was terrible. my displays, I can show you images. My displays were terrible. Everything about it was just, obviously the growth has definitely happened throughout the years. Evolving has happened throughout the years. But it was definitely an experience for me. And there was vegan people. So that was something that I had to also as well learn, which challenged me. And I really enjoyed that. So That was my first experience being called on my way to Thailand to start this gig. So when I came back, I started doing that about three times a month, two locations every Saturday. And I did that for a few months until COVID happened.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I did that for almost a year until COVID happened and everything went downhill for everyone.
Yeah.
So that was definitely hard for me. But that's how it all began.
So how did you navigate the time during COVID? Because different chefs and caterers all navigated that space differently. So how did you navigate that COVID space, that COVID time?
So first, I had money saved. So that was helpful. The fact that my landlord was unbelievably amazing and understanding that obviously in my field, I wasn't able to really make money. So he was understanding of that. For about 3 months, I didn't pay rent. He was so great with that. So, and then on top of that, I had a friend, they work at Costco's, and Costco's was still running. That was 100 employees. So I did about 3 gigs with them, where it made me more than enough money to keep saving and keep lasting me. And so I was very mindful of my spending during that time. And then on top of that, there was, I don't remember the help that was given to business owners to receive some money. So I was able to keep that money and keep saving and let it last me as long as possible. I would say 2021, that's when things kind of started picking up, and I was doing small little gigs for family and friends. So that was helpful for me. But then in 2021, that's when it started kind of picking up a little bit. 2022, okay. I took off. I said, you know what? I'm not playing games no more. That's when I got my storefront. That's when I started doing desserts for restaurants. I started doing meal preps, which meal preps took off drastically. I mean, in a week, I made over 250 meals.
Oh, wow.
For people, because I'm also into the gym. So I said, might as well, you know, include that in my catering services that I provide. And that was pretty good. Yeah.
Now, what was, because that's interesting there. Now, what was the thought behind that with the meal prep? Now, you said that you're in the gym. Now, are you around these people and they're always talking about food and you're like, hey, I cook? Or how did that come about?
So it all began, I would say, like the beginning of 2022. I started going to LA Fitness. So prior to that, I was at Crunch. Crunch had already had like Clean Eats. And I would notice that. I'm like, Clean Eats has a fridge here. That just completely makes sense. Providing, you know, food for people here, eating, controlling their macros, making sure that you're eating what you're supposed to be eating. So, you know, Crunch is super busy. So I started going to LA Fitness. Once I started going there, I started meeting people. And people are like, do you do meal preps? Do you do meal preps? And I'm like, I don't. And a friend at the time, who is a personal trainer, said, I could get you clientele. You help me, I help you. I said, okay. So we did. And it took off unbelievably. Yeah, for about 4 months, it was about, like I said, 200 and plus every week that I was making meals for these people. Once a week, I would just do that. And I was doing that for about 6 months. Nothing else, catering meal preps.
Wow.
I did that for about 6 months. And then I included the desserts for a restaurant, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with Old San Juan.
Yes.
Restaurant in Lancaster.
Oh, yes, of course.
They're no longer open. But when they were open, they hired me to do their desserts. They also hired me to train their kitchen staff, get organized with them. So with that, I opened up a networking with them. Yeah. And the spot that I'm in is actually the owner of Old San Juan Restaurant.
Oh.
So it all just worked out. It was like a domino effect.
Now, your storefront now, how did that conversation come about, and how did you scale up to that point?
So, like I said, in 2022, I started doing meal preps. So, Olivia, who happens to be the daughter of Danny Falcon, she used to buy meal preps for me. And in the midst of buying meal preps for me, she lost over 30 pounds. I ended up going to the Cigar Lounge, which he also owns.
Yeah.
So I'm at the bar at the Cigar Lounge, and by accident, he so happens to be there. And Olivia is like, Dad, you need to meet Emily. Emily is incredible. She helped me lose weight. Her food tastes great. Have you ever seen her food? And he got intrigued by that. We start having a conversation. And Olivia's like, Dad, you have the storefront that's open. I was like, I could take a look at it and see how it looks. I never thought about having a storefront. I don't know how I feel about that. I needed a kitchen. I knew that because I was very limited to how much I can do from home. And I was never going to be able to grow unless I had a commercial kitchen. So he goes, go ahead and show it to her. And at first I'm like, a little skeptical, but I let it go for 2 months. I said, you know what? I don't know how I feel about it. One day, randomly, without telling nobody, I say, hey, Danny, is that kitchen still available? He says, yes, it is. I said, well, can we come to an agreement? He goes, yes. I said, okay. I literally did it behind everybody's back. I announced it after to my family and friends after I signed the paperwork, and everyone was in shock.
I believe
it. In 1 month, mm-hmm. literally, I got it October 1st. By November 1st, I had all my permits, all my certificates, oh, wow. all my requirements. I literally almost about 80% of everything I painted, remodeled, did it all on my own with no help.
Mm. And I'm going to get into a life running a restaurant, running a storefront on the other side of this break. But first, you got this space. Now, can you tell us what the first couple of weeks were like? Was it already filled? Did you have to fill the space with stuff? What did it look like when you first opened that door?
I will show you an image. It was completely empty in here.
Oh,
completely
wow.
Completely empty. This place was literally just a big room with just a prep table. And the exhaust where I had to cook from.
Wow.
That's it. In 1 month, I had invested mm-hmm. over $20,000.
Wow.
And completely stocked up the whole place. I had a friend of mine who remodels homes and flips them.
Mm-hmm.
He had cabinets in a kitchen that he wasn't going to use. And I wanted to create a counter space.
Oh.
Counter are like over $1,000, $2,000 mm-hmm. minimum. So I created a whole countertop with it. And you would never have imagined that they're kitchen cabinets. I was able to, and also on top of that, I had a kitchen at home.
Mm.
So my dining room wasn't a dining room. It was a second kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Where I was working from for 4 years. So I moved most, like some of this equipment that's back here mm-hmm. was from home.
Wow.
And then I had, yeah, so all those things. By the time that I brought everything from home, created the counter space, bought a few shelves, bought a fridge, an oven, everything was completely done by November 7th. I opened up.
Wow. Wow. And for our radio audience, looking at her kitchen, it looks like a stainless steel heaven back there. Very, very, very impressive. And let's talk about your culinary expertise here. What kind of sauces, spices, salts and peppers, you know, what kind of items do you use in your cuisine?
Oh, I mean, it all depends. We do all different kinds of events and different kinds of authentic kinds of food. So depending on what item we are making, it could be Indian or it could be Thai. It could be Cuban or Puerto Rican. So depending on what it is, the spices do change completely because all the flavors are different depending on where it's from.
Yeah. Now your introduction to cooking was through who?
My grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. So growing up, my grandmother was the one who would be cooking every single day.
Mm.
My grandfather would be making breakfast for us every single morning. By the time that we got home from school, we had dinner ready for not just us, but the whole neighborhood and everybody around us.
Mm.
So it was constant cooking at home for breakfast, lunch, dinner, packing for the neighborhood, making pastries and desserts, hosting events. That was just the norm.
Yeah, and now talking about the norm. What's a normal day for you? Because you are, you know, entrepreneur. You're a business owner. You have your own brick and mortar. So there's a location that you have to show up to every single day. So what does a day in the life of Emily look like?
That's crazy. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that before. I mean, it could be from 2 o'clock in the morning getting up, or
wow.
it could be at 6 a.m. Once I get up, I need my coffee.
Mm.
Coffee could lead to going to the gym because I do enjoy my gym. After that, it's making sure that my orders were placed online. I'm the one who placed them. It's requiring to drive and pick up the items. I'm the one who gets them.
Mm.
By the time that I deliver, I go to the shop, spend a few hours at the shop, depending on the catering. Sometimes I have one catering or it could be five caterings in a day.
Wow.
On top of that, we have the storefront as well. So It's a lot of prepping, a lot of organizing, a lot of paperwork, making sure that lists are being crossed off, things are being done. I got to communicate with my workers and making sure that everybody's in order with that, helping me out, cleaning, spending a few hours there, possibly delivering. Then I also have my kids in my normal life. So my son has football practices or football training, and then I got to take him to that. My daughter gets, you know, doesn't feel well. I got to pick her up from school, help her with her homework. Then I got to go home and cook and clean and organize myself. So it's never ending from 6 a.m. all the way till 9, 10 p.m. at night.
So what are some of the biggest misconceptions of being an entrepreneur in the culinary field?
You're so lucky. That's what I get all the time. You're so lucky. You're so lucky, and I'm so jealous. And I'm like, if I wish I carried a preview of my daily life and how stressful it could be and how much I have on my plate. I am the accountant, the chef, the cleaning, the prepping, the invoicing, the customer service, the mom, the football mom, the Uber driver for my children. I am everything. So it's really, really, really hard. I just make it look easy. So a lot of people are constantly thinking, oh, wow, you have it so easy, or you have it so good. And it really isn't. It's just that I know how to carry it well, and I enjoy what I do. Therefore, I don't like complaining. I like to just make things happen. So I think a lot of people just constantly assume that it's easy or that I have a great life. It's a lot of work.
Indeed. I don't know why people want to put the ease of life on other people, but absolutely. I see that a lot. With this everyday hustle, you know, when do you find time for Emily?
So I'm very big on that. I'm already like I said, I'm a traveler. So I went to Colombia in January. I catch myself on times that I'm not busy. If I have a very minimal catering event, I make sure I leave everything prepped, leave for 3 days, 4 days max, and take a little trip for myself. I'll go to Tampa, or I'll go to Philly, or go to New York, and make sure that I am taking care of myself and taking those moments, because if I don't, I get very overwhelmed. I make sure that I go to the gym at least 4 to 5 times a week. I make sure that I get my sleep, and I don't play about that. I go to sleep at 9, 10 p.m. every single night. If I have to have somebody help me at the shop and prep so that I can make sure that I get my rest. Without rest, we're not filled. So I need to prioritize me before anyone. So I make sure I get my rest. I make sure that I take care of my fitness and go to the gym. On top of that, I take my trips every few weeks to make sure that's what I enjoy. So I do those things when I'm not busy. So I'm not going to have catering for the next 3 days on the weekend. So most likely I'll leave out of town for a few days and enjoy that.
Oh, well, like the elders would say, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Absolutely.
So rest is definitely needed. What are some of the challenges you face by running this family-owned and operated business?
I mean, everything comes with challenges, and honestly, I think it's balancing my personal life, which includes my children, as well as balancing work life, because there's times that I'm capable of being there for my kids fully and I'm able to be present. But then there's times that for 2 weeks, I am like almost completely not at home. That's one of my challenges, that being my priority is my kids. So it has always been. So going from being fully present to my kids, and now mom owns the storefront, and mom is now busy all the time, and mom is not home for us, even though they don't even spend time with me. They just want me home.
Yeah.
They just want me home. I'm like, I'm home, and you guys are playing games, and you guys are in your rooms. It's not that they don't want me with them. They just want me home with them.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest challenge. So now
to be able to alleviate that, I started hiring a cleaning staff or hiring people to prep for me. So those hours that I spend 4 to 5 hours cleaning and prepping, now I have someone else handle that. So I'm able to spend time with the kids more. And I'm trying to learn to do that because for a very long time, I didn't know how to leave my work to someone else because I'm a perfectionist. So it was like, I want to do it all by myself. And I'll spend 15 hours at the shop, but I realized I'm draining myself.
Yeah.
And now I'm exhausted. So how can I balance that by giving that responsibility to someone else? So that's the challenge I've been faced with this past year.
And your shop, you do have a storefront, you do have a brick and mortar. And I do know, I do believe when you moved in there, it was blank, right? There was mm-hmm. nothing in there, and you had to make a significant investment, right?
Absolutely. So when I first got the shop, it was in October 1st, completely empty. I sent you a picture of it. It was insane. Completely empty. Nothing in there, just the place to cook and a long prep table. I had, within 1 month, I had to invest over $20,000 out of my pocket. No grants, no help whatsoever. I had to paint, stock the whole place, buy everything, also bring the second kitchen that I had for my home and put it all in there. I mean, it was like a complete 360 that place did. And it looks beautiful now, but it took a lot of work and I did it all within 30 days.
For the folks that are interested in pulling up to your store, where's your brick and mortar at?
So we are located at 601 North Queen Street. Currently, we are open Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays from 12 to 5 p.m. And every week we have a different platter that we have available. So this week is Puerto Rican food. Last week we were closed due to caterings and our computer system. We had an issue. But the week before that was Jamaican. So every week we switch it to a different, we have soul food the week prior to that.
And there it is, folks. That is Emily Gonzalez, the owner and operator of Gems Catering. Emily, I want to thank you for coming on the Spark and just giving us the delicious details on your business. Thank you so much for coming on the
show. Thank you.